Well, we are happy to have our guest, Mr. Ben Crump, on the line. We know he is a busy person, and we're going to bring him in right away. Ben Crump is a world-renowned, a foremost civil rights attorney. It is tragic the reason that all of us know his name, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and so many others whose names have gone around the globe numerous times. He's represented their families, and he is on the watch wall for civil rights. He is representing the family of yet another victim of police brutality. That's my words, Pamela Shante Turner. I'm going to get right to it. Mr. Crump, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate all that you and Janice do, not only in Atlanta, but all across the United States.
Well, you know, we girls that love civil rights, but what you do is something unique. It's tragic the reason that you have to do it, but we have to do something when our unarmed black men and women are being shot down in the street like dogs. And you're that person that so many have gone to. How did you get started in this area of law?
You know, when I was in school, David, I think Janice may have heard the story way too many times, but when I was in elementary school, fourth grade, they had Brown versus Board with all deliberate speed it took to 1979 to get to the black school, the black children, white children going to the same school in Lumberton, North Carolina. And when we went to the white school, it was just astonishing to us, the new facilities, the new technology, the new books that they had. And I always remember thinking, why did certain people on certain sides of the town have it so good and others of us on our side of town have it so challenging? And I remember when I was on the school bus going back to the South Side, my mother had told me that it was because of Thurgood Marshall and Brown versus the Board of Education that we got the opportunity to go to the new school and get their best technology. And so I said, I want to be like Thurgood Marshall. I want to try to make it better for people who look like me, people from my community. And from that day to this one, I've been trying my best every chance I get to try to even the odds for black people.
Well, Ben Crump, you are absolutely doing that. It's interesting that you would talk about Brown versus Board of Education. Now they celebrated an anniversary of that decision yesterday, 65 years. And there are two dozen, I'm reading in the Washington Post today, two dozen federal judicial nominees who refused to acknowledge that Brown versus Board of Education was good law. And so I want you to talk about that. If you can hold on a few seconds, it's time for us to have a break. But okay, if you will hold on, I want you to say a couple of words about that. And we also want to hear from you regarding Pamela Shante Turner. You're listening to Sisters in Law, News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Ben Crump, the founding lawyer of Ben Crump Law and the country's foremost civil rights attorney. Mr. Crump, thank you so much for holding with us. We were talking about earlier, two dozen federal judgeship nominees refused to say that Brown versus Board of Education, that was so inspirational to you, was good law. Are they turning back the hands of time on us?
Well, they're certainly doing everything in their power to try to do whatever they can to undo the great work of our civil rights heroes like Thurgood Marshall, and we know they're trying to undo everything that President Obama did during his tenure as president. But it's so outrageous that you would have these federal judge nominees come up before Congress for essentially DeVita and Janice for a job interview, and then refuse to answer the questions of the employer, which are the U.S. Congress representing the American people, for a lifetime appointment. I mean, it's asinine. Before Trump, nobody would have believed that Americans could lower themselves to such depths as to have these right-wing ideologues just coming in and saying, we don't matter if they have respect and for the rule of law. We just want people who would do our bidding. And that's exactly what we see happening with these Senate confirmations of all these judges. I understand the former senator from Louisiana, I gave the commencement speech for Southern University here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They said she had never practiced law a day in her life. She just went to law school, and they now have made her a federal judge with a lifetime appointment who's going to be passing judgment on many of the causes that happen to our community in Southwest Louisiana.
Well, and she's one of those two dozen that refuses to say that Brown versus Board of Education was good law. Well, we want to respect your time. You're a very busy person. We appreciate you calling. You're representing the family of the latest victim that we know of police brutality, Pamela Shante Turner, 44 years old, who was gunned down Monday night. I have so many questions, and our callers have questions, but I saw the press conference that you gave, and you said something that I had not thought about, that the police department of Bayside immediately started trying to criminalize Pamela Shante Turner when they knew she was a mental health patient, that she had schizophrenia.
Yes, she did. And, you know, David, I think what they tried to do is criminalize her to try to justify this unjustifiable execution of this unarmed black woman who had been diagnosed as having severe mental illnesses that the police officer knew about. And so that's what makes it even more outrageous, the fact that when you watch that video, not only is it the worst execution I've ever seen by a police officer, I mean, this is a woman who's laying on her back and he shoots her five times at nearly point-blank range. And you're like, oh, my God, he's doing that to a woman who said she was pregnant. And irrespective if he's pregnant or not, he didn't have any respect for her safety nor the safety of the potential life that was inside her body, because he tased her in the stomach area. Mm. And they keep saying, well, the police officer did what he had to do because he was in fear of his life. Well, could that same reason apply to Pamela Turner, an unarmed black woman who did it? Police officer had just assaulted and battered and tased in the stomach. Is it really unreasonable to believe that this unarmed black woman thought the police officer was going to kill her and that she was in fear of her life? So why do we give just such deference to these police officers when we have ocular proof based on video that they use unnecessary, unjustifiable, excessive force against a woman? And I know Janice and I, we're doing a lot of legal matters talking about women, especially black women. I'm doing a lot of these cases dealing with talcum powder, where they prey on our women in our communities that's causing ovarian cancer. And I look at that video, and I think this guy, this police officer, preyed on Pamela Turner. And the only question in our mind is why? Because we see everything that happened in that video, Davida, and it's just horrible. I'm talking to her son, Cameron, who's 25 years old, and he's really struggling because he literally saw his mother get executed. Mm. It's hard enough to lose your parent, but to see your parent get executed, your mother who raised you, I mean, as a single parent, I'm praying every day that we can control him not to try to retaliate.
Well, you mentioned the video. I've been reading this story ever since Monday night, and I didn't see the video until today on my way to Atlanta, and I screamed out because it was so horrible. You know, you can read the words, but when you see the pictures, it's something that I've never seen before. And we've seen all types of horrible stuff in the last few years, but this is the most horrible I've seen.
It really is. And when you think about this is Mental Health Awareness Month, Davida. And if there's anything that may be somewhat positive, even though nothing is positive about this to us who care about this family, is it should raise the conversation. We should have a greater conversation in America, not only how we deal with and address people struggling with mental health issues, but specifically how police officers interact with people struggling with mental health issues, and very specifically how they interact with people of color struggling with mental health issues, because the because the color of your skin and the status of your mental health should not be the compound factors of whether you live or die when you interact with a police officer.
And then this part about criminalizing, were there warrants? Are there warrants? Her family said they didn't know about any warrants.
The family said they didn't know about any warrants, but they're trying to say, well, she has warrants. Well, the short of the matter is, when you listen to that video, he doesn't say anything about warrants on that video.
Not a word.
And so I think what it is reverse engineering justification. They're coming in after fact trying to justify what they know was not just a bad shoot. We see that a lot with young black men. This was a terrible shoot, DeVita. This was an execution of a black woman who was just trying to get home. And you hear her say over and over again, why are you harassing me? I'm just trying to go home.
And she said she was on her way home. We'll probably play that video again. We're playing the sound portion on the air. Has the body cam video been released, and do you expect it to be released if it hasn't?
It hasn't been released, and you know, Jan, DeVita, you and Janice know what the playbook is. They come up here and say, oh, we got a pending investigation, and they try to drag it on for months, if not years, to try to avoid releasing that video. But thank God we had that person do the video from their cell phone. And we have an independent autopsy report being done that's going to give us a lot of information as well about what happened, how many times she was hit, where she was hit at, and tell us if the shots were close range or far range, because those are the questions we want to answer for this family and for the community, because we know the police are going to do everything in their power to try to sweep this under the rug. And from day one, the Baytown Police Department, even though they're supposed to have been investigating it because they're police officers in the police department, they came out the next day in less than 24 hours and said it was justified. Mm-hmm. And all we say is we are not going to let them again tell us that these intellectual, technical justifications for discrimination is going to fly on this. The funeral is on Thursday, and it's going to be in Houston, and they're going to have another funeral in Mississippi. I know a lot of attention is going to be brought to that. They're protesting tonight, Black Lives Matter, at the Baytown Police Department. Beto O'Rourke is supposed to come to the funeral, as well as Kamala Harris, Reverend Al, and some others are going to do the eulogy, and we're going to keep trying to put pressure on them to make sure that the family, especially her children, Chelsea and Cameron, get due process of the law and have their day in court to combat this most horrible execution. I can't even put it into words how bad this is. You know, we think about Sandra Bland, we think about, you know, Alton Sterling, we think about all these other shootings. But when you look at this video of Pamela Turner, your heart breaks because you wonder, why did he have to do this to this lady? And if they talk about warrants, they try to make it look like she was a hardened criminal. All her warrants had to do with misdemeanors, DeVita. She was, she's never spent more than 1.5 days in jail. And so all her misdemeanors are things like unreasonable noise, using obscene language, window peeping, and they all are related to her mental illnesses. She worked for 20 years as a unit coordinator at the local hospital, raising her two children. When she was diagnosed in 2005 initially with schizophrenia, she struggled through it and continued to work for 5 more years so she can continue to support her 8-year-old daughter and her 12-year-old son. In 2010, the doctor that made her have to take an early retirement for medical reasons. And ever since then, she's been struggling with these mental health issues. And everybody at that apartment complex knew she had those mental health issues.
Including
the police. And so this is a violation of not only excessive force, but also the American with Disabilities Act.
Well, thank you, Attorney Ben Crum. We thank you for your time, and Godspeed to you. We will lift you up in prayer. And you know, Janice and I, we like to protest. So we'll see you along the way. God bless you. And we're going to keep you lifted up. And we're going to talk about this mental illness and how mentally ill Black people are treated. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you to the sisters in law.